This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. My name is Maryam Lemu and welcome back to my lecture series on trust, belief and hope. During the last episode, I took you on my journey to discovering Islam. And I promised that I would talk about, during this final episode, trials and how to handle them, how to survive them. And also, if we feel we've gone off the straight path, tips on how to hopefully bring us back. Now, our test of faith is often challenged when we go through trials. Our iman is challenged when we go through difficult times. That is when we question Allah. That is when we ask Allah, why me? When we lose a loved one, we ask Allah, why are we going through this? We start to question our faith. When we go through a divorce and how shattering that is, you may have discovered that your spouse is cheating. These are trials from Allah. Or you find out that your husband had a child with another woman. Or your wife who just had a baby, that baby isn't yours. You may also have discovered that your child is on drugs. And how painful and how hard it is to go through such a trial. You may be going through depression. You may be going through financial hard times or going through some form of abuse where you feel trapped, where you feel helpless and hopeless. The challenges of somebody else, the trials of a loved one is also a trial on you because it's so hard to see someone else suffering without feeling that. That's a trial on us too. I learned that Allah's trials are not meant to cause us pain, that they are tests of our faith, tests of our patience, and tests to see whether we are patient to see the result from the trial. And those tests are also meant to strengthen us. It's important that we always ask, what does Allah want me to learn from this experience? And how should I react in the best manner that will please Him? Try to remember the Prophet ﷺ and the other prophets and greater trials that they went through. They are meant to be examples for us. Allah has already promised that He's going to try us. In Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verses 155 to 157, where He says, And most certainly we shall try you by means of danger and hunger and loss of your worldly goods, of lives and of the fruits of your labor. Allah has promised He will try us. Just as we need a lot of taqwa to develop a strong spiritual immune system, we also need to install shock absorbers in ourselves to handle the shock from trials. Just like we install shock absorbers in our car, we need to install spiritual shock absorbers. It's a mechanism to help us cope, to handle the shock. One of the best ways to handle shock is to always remember never to take it personal, that Allah is just, and don't ever be a victim. Don't ever ask why me. Don't ever ask why me. When He blessed us with children, we never asked why me. When our business was successful and things were working for us, we didn't ask why me. This earth is not a Jannah. It was never meant to be. It was never meant to be a Jannah. But alhamdulillah, it's not Jahannama either. At least there's an end to the trials. The spiritual shock absorbers are meant to give us comfort, knowing that after hardship, inshallah, will come ease. And that Allah tests those that He loves most. He tests those that He loves most. And that He will never give us a burden greater than we can handle. Something my brother told me, which I love so much, is that it is during the darkest nights that the stars shine the brightest. And it is during the darkest periods, the darkest hours, that Allah is closest to us. So never let go of Allah's rope. Always remember when you go through these trials, even if you don't want to be optimistic, always remain hopeful. Because as Allah says in that other part of the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, but give glad tidings, which is give good news to those who are patient in adversity, whom when calamity befalls them, they say, verily to Allah we belong, and verily to Him is our return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It is they upon whom descend the blessings, the mercy, the rahmah of their sustainer. And it is they who are on the right path. I love that. It's so comforting. Sincerely, I appreciate how powerful these verses are when one really gets to know the meaning of them. Because there are so many messages. for us in them. Be a source of healing, be a source of rahmah for others who have been through trials or are going through trials. Turn your own hurt into a source of healing for others, because you know where it hurts the most. Comfort them if they've been through abuse, if they're going through depression, divorce, if they've lost a loved one. You know what words comforted you when you went through a similar experience. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, what actions are the most excellent? And you know what he said? To gladden the hearts of human beings, to feed the hungry, to lighten the sorrow from the sorrowful, and to remove the suffering from the injured. In my journey to discovering Islam, I learned that being God-conscious is also being afraid to offend Allah. We're often more afraid of offending our parents than we are of displeasing Allah. It's easy for us to lie, cheat, gossip, than to be disrespectful to our parents. So we should try and make sure that we do the right thing always, even when we don't feel like it, even when nobody is watching. Don't forget the question I asked in episode 1, that if we were a box and someone was to read the label on the box, what would they discover? This is a good way to ensure that we have nothing to hide, when we make sure that we do the right thing always, even when we don't feel like it. I started to slowly understand the importance of trust, belief, and hope. I had to make sure that it was genuine, it was sincere. Allah wants us to ask Him and then trust that He has accepted. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, the best part of dua is the expectation of the response. He also said, whatever you pray for, be certain that it'll be responded to. So be optimistic. Even when you feel you've done wrong, seek forgiveness. Allah is very forgiving, like my brother taught me. Repentance, though, has conditions, but the most important part of it is the sincerity of the repentance and the optimism that Allah has accepted. The optimism. Allah said, call on me and I will answer. I love that. Call on me and I will answer. Some people commit sin. Some people will pray and then they fast. Then they commit sin again. Then they ask for forgiveness. They even go to Hajj or Umrah. They pay others to pray for them. Then they commit sin again. Who are we fooling? The repentance has to be sincere. Allah says, O you who believe, turn to Allah with a sincere repentance. Many wake up wanting to turn a new leaf, to make a positive change in their lives. However, they feel they've gone in too deep and that it's too late. They're a lost cause. But Allah has a message for them. Allah says, O my servant, O my servant, imagine, instead of saying, O you sinful people, or O you servants of Satan, he says, O my servants who have transgressed and have sinned against themselves, those who have been, let's say, extravagant in sinning, do not despair in Allah's mercy. Do not despair from Allah's mercy. And after painting a picture to his companions of how huge, how hot, how massive hellfire is, he then asked his companions, do you know what can put that heat out? Do you know what can put that fire out? You know what he said? One tear from a sincere repentance, one sincere istighfar. So keep Allah close. Don't be a seasonal Muslim. Be consistent. That's why that taqwa is so important. Let him be your compass. Let him be your qibla. Let him be your guide. Create a brand for yourself and stick to it. Prepare yourselves also for the trials. Always remember to ask, how would the Prophet behave in this kind of situation? And like the Prophet ﷺ, when life squeezes you, are you the same sweet orange? Many will go through tests, but we pray to Allah that we pass His tests. It's been a long journey for me, but alhamdulillah, there is nothing more fulfilling than that deep connection, the comfort that comes from it, and the contentment from knowing that Allah hears me and sees me and knows what I'm going through. And that relationship is between me and Allah and nobody else. And that's what matters most. Just a word of advice to anybody out there. Be careful judging others. Be careful judging people's dressing and saying that it's fitna. Be careful judging people's faith, that they're not good enough Muslims. That's between them and Allah. I think of my mother, how she embraced Islam. And at first she wasn't dressing in the manner we are recommended to dress. She wasn't covering her hair and her body was generally exposed. And this is the same person who over the years has discovered Islam, has written textbooks on Islam, and her textbook is the number one textbook being used in the national curriculum in this country. And she's written so many books, given lectures around the world on Islam. Allah will be her judge. However, if someone like that were condemned or judged early on, they could choose to say this isn't worth it, and they could listen to what people say. Many have the sunnah look, but they don't behave the sunnah way. If you were to read the label on their box, you would discover that things are not really the way they seem on the outside. So be very careful judging others, because you don't know where they have reached on their journey and where they're going to go. It is better to encourage people with beautiful preachings than to condemn them, to shame them, or to hate them. If a prostitute can be sent to heaven just for saving a dog from thirst, then let us leave the judging to Allah and focus on judging ourselves before we go and meet Him. One thing I know for sure is that we didn't create ourselves, that we are responsible for our actions and we will be held accountable for them. We shouldn't let our past or our encounters with others stop us from searching for answers and discovering true Islam. We shouldn't let anyone or anything derail us from the straight path. If someone didn't do a good enough job teaching us the Quran or our religion when we were younger, we are responsible now, and so we need to search and ask. We will be held accountable for our actions, and we are going to go back and meet Him, inshallah. May Allah increase us in our taqwa, in our iman. May we never let go of Allah's rope, individually or collectively. And may you always, always have trust, belief, and hope. May Allah forgive me for where I may have erred. If I've offended you in any way, I ask you to please forgive me. If you enjoyed this, please share it with others. You can follow me on Facebook and subscribe to my YouTube channel at Mariam Lemo. Assalamu alaikum.